are going to finish up our four-week series on the mission of grace, and I've enjoyed the previous 3 weeks of being able to share with you, and excited to wrap this up today with part four of our four-week series on missions. If you missed a week, I've said this every week, don't worry, we've got those available online. You can pick up a brochure in the back that lists all of the scriptures and all the things that I've been talking about. You can check it out on our website. And I've shared with you from the beginning, and I will share with you one last time today, that everything that we are doing here at Grace, we want to be rooted in Scripture. We want to be rooted in the Great Commission that Jesus gave when he told his disciples to go and do just that, make disciples of all nations. As a matter of fact, in just a moment, that's going to be our text for today as we look at this sharing aspect. But I want to remind you, nothing man-made is ever supposed to stand in the place of the scriptural truths that we have before us. That's not what we're trying to do here. We're trying to simply take Scripture and articulate ways that we can live it out. How can we do it right here at Grace Baptist Church? And so our mission statement, I've shared with you several times, I'm going to do it one more time today. Grace Baptist Church exists to make disciples of Jesus through the worship of God, through equipping believers, through living in community, and today, sharing the gospel with the world. Four key words: worship, equipping, community, and sharing. Week one, we looked at the worship of God. It's our response to God's mighty acts in Christ Jesus. We express it here corporately. We express it personally. We express it by reading God's word and by praying, and all of those things are elements of worship. We certainly celebrate it as we take part in the Lord's Supper and baptism here together as a church body. Week two, we talked about equipping. We are equipped through service. We are equipped by doing. We are also equipped by being discipled and learning deeper about the things of life, and we have our equipped classes on Wednesday night, and we have biblical counseling, opportunities for us to grow stronger in our faith. And last week I shared with you about community. We do that primarily in our community groups. We do that in our men's and women's ministries, and we also do that in our church-wide fellowships. Another plug for the picnic coming up soon. I promise cooler weather. I'm beginning to think that I am going to greatly regret that, so we shall see. This week, we're going to look at sharing the gospel with the world. Now, I threw something up here. I did that on purpose. So I wanted to come up with a way to help you all share this with people that you meet and share this with people that you come across in town. And I know nothing more that people love better than a free T-shirt, okay? I mean, I wanted a T-shirt cannon. Brian should have had a T-shirt cannon, but I thought against that and decided I would hurt somebody, so, or maybe myself. So, I am so excited about this. Y'all check this out. So this is Grace Baptist Church T-shirt. Has all four of our words on it: worship, equipping, community, and sharing. And the best news I have for you, these are free. But they are first come, first serve. So here's what you've got to do. Not now. Okay, at the end of the service, if you will go down into the gym, right into the double doors of the gym, we've got all sizes. I would ask you just to take one. And if you're not a T-shirt wearer, just leave them. Don't take one if you're not going to wear it. Okay, but because I tried to buy enough sizes for all three services. But man, just wear this in the community. Wear this and show up. And they say, what do those four words mean? Now, you better be able to answer the question. If they ask you, what are the four words, you mean, I don't know. Pastor said we should wear this T-shirt. Let's do a little better, okay? Grab a brochure, take it with you. You know, I'd really love this, and it's just a great way for us to be reminded of what our mission is. Church, wear it proudly. Wear it out there and tell people, hey, I'm a part of Grace Baptist Church, and this is what we are all about. So yeah, you can pick one of those up on your way out today. Don't slip out during the invitation. I'm watching you, okay? Just saying. All right, today we're going to talk about what it means to be a church that is about sharing the gospel. What a great day to do that. We've just celebrated Jesus' work on the cross, his victory over the grave, and all that that means for us. And so today we're going to look at the end of his earthly story and the emphasis that shifts to those who are left behind. And guess what? That includes all of us that are sitting here today who are a part of the family of God. If you got your Bible, let's let's go ahead and turn to Matthew chapter 28. You know these verses very well. I've shared them with you every week. We're going to take just a moment, though, and go a little bit deeper into them today as we share some application on how we can be a church that is about sharing the gospel with the world. This is the Great Commission, as you might have known. Many of you may have it memorized, and so if you do, you can just speak it aloud in your mind as I read it here in just a moment, okay? But let's look at it together. The disciples and Jesus are gathering together. His last words to them, Matthew 28, let's begin in verse 16. Now, the 11 disciples, Judas is obviously not a part of the group, so the 11 disciples went to Galilee to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." May God bless the reading and the teaching of his words. Let me share with you today, as we look at these final words, this final piece of our mission, we see throughout the Gospel of Matthew that the authority of Jesus is in full view. If you read Matthew's gospel, beautiful gospel that it is, you will see that he is a teacher with authority. When he speaks, his words have authority. He is is also one who indeed has authority. He has the power to heal the sick. Now, he has the authority to even forgive sins. And for this, many of the people that he encountered in the Gospel of Matthew said, no, only God can forgive sin. As, of course, he began to reveal himself, as we saw in John's gospel, as well as God indeed. In chapter 10 of Matthew's gospel, Jesus begins to impart some of that authority to those who follow after him, to his disciples. He begins to say, look, I'm giving you authority to do some of these, not to forgive sins, but you can do some of these things. And even now, at the end of his life, as the grave has been conquered, death has been overcome, he is alive, he is risen, church. He still is today. He comes to his disciples and he says to them, I need to tell you one final thing. I'm giving you all this authority. I need you to do. I've got a mission for you. Now, this isn't just for them, church. This is for you and me and all of us who would follow after them. Those who would say, yes, I believe that Jesus is my Savior, my Lord. And when you found freedom in that, when you have been delivered from the bondage of sin and death, Jesus would say, you've been given a great, great and mighty powerful task. Go and tell other people about the freedom that you found. Go and tell other people about the salvation that has come to you. Go. Have you ever had something so great you just couldn't wait to tell somebody about it? You remember that? You got something great. Boy, you want to go tell all your buddies at school. Show it off. You know? You got something really, I get a new truck. I'm going to drive to all my friends' house. Look at my new truck. You know? We love to show the things. But we've, for some reason, forgotten the beautiful, powerful, majestic gift of salvation that we've all been given. Man, we have it. I have it. And because I have it, and because of the freedom that I have in it, Jesus is reminding us today, church, that we are to want to share that with everybody, because there are people walking all around you every day that are in bondage to sin. They're dead in their sin. And they're going to spend an eternity in hell. Now, you and I are not the ones that offer salvation, are we? That's through Christ alone, isn't it? Grace alone and faith alone. But you and I have a testimony, don't we? We can offer that testimony. We can offer that in the midst of a world of darkness and a world of sin. It's pretty amazing if you read the book of Acts. At the end of the Jesus' ascension. Yeah, I'm going to turn there. I got time. We're making time. Okay. Acts chapter 1. This wasn't on the outline. This is what pops in my head while I'm standing here talking. Sorry. Becky warns me against this, but she's not here right now, so that's okay. Acts chapter 1, I was thinking about this morning. It's great. The disciples are standing there at the ascension, verse 6. They all, they're standing and they're looking up. And I love this, verse 9. When he had said these things, they were looking up. Jesus was lifted up to heaven and a cloud took him out of their midst. In verse 10, while they were gazing into heaven, So I want to set the scene for you. They're all standing there like this. See what happens. Two men stand beside them and said, "Why are you standing there looking up at heaven?" Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way that you saw him go. You know what that implies? Quit looking up in the sky and get to work. There's nothing wrong with worshiping and lifting our eyes toward heaven. We can't stand there all day, can we? There's a hint of mission at the end of every gospel in the midst of awe. I read that this week. I like that. There's a hint of mission at the end of every gospel, and it happens in the midst of awe. I'm in awe of Jesus. But I can't just stand there with my mouth open looking like an idiot. I've got to go and I've got work to do. And that's what Jesus is telling his disciples right here at the end of Matthew's gospel. He says to them, "Look, all authority in heaven on earth has been given to me. I've passed some of it on to you. Now I want you to go and I want you to make disciples." What does it mean to make disciples? Does that mean you need to make a guy dress in a robe and wear long hair and look like a disciple? No. That's foolish, isn't it? What does it mean to go and make disciples? It means to call people to believe in Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life, that no one comes to the Father except through him. It's calling people to Jesus as their soul master and their soul Lord. Simply put. And the promise of Jesus today, church, is our comfort. Nothing robs us of his presence. This verse tells us emphatically that he is with us always, even to the end of the age. So you see, this is a never-ending calling until Jesus comes again, right? It's not like we get to a point where we say, "Well, look, I've reached all the, I don't know any more people." That's a horrible excuse. There's tons of people out there that need to hear the gospel, and our calling doesn't end until Jesus returns. I read this week, and I like this. This is standing orders for a church. These are standing orders. Nothing stands in the way of us doing this. If we don't do anything else, we do this. We must be a church that shares the gospel. Not only must we be a church, because you think, well, the church does that. The church, do you understand? You are the church. This calling begins with us, doesn't it? My calling is to share the good news of Jesus. Your calling is to share the good news of Jesus. Now, corporately, we do that in some ways, and we'll talk about that. But individually, we must understand, because of the freedom that we have in Christ, we are called to go and make disciples. You know, everything we've talked about the last 3 weeks actually really goes, actually at the root of it is this. When we think about worship, why do we worship? We worship because of what Jesus has done. We worship because of his work on the. When you saw Mary, the Marys, and everyone after Jesus was resurrected, what did they do? They fell down and bowed at his feet and worshiped him. And he said, "Get up and go and tell everyone else about what has happened." Evangelism springs from our worship and our adoration of Jesus Christ. And think about what Jesus commanded over and over again. He said, "I want you to love the Lord your God with all your heart. I want you to love your neighbor like yourself." Why do we believe in community? Because Jesus called us to love people. Jesus called us to come alongside. If I can't love people, it's going to be really hard for me to tell people the good news about Jesus Christ, isn't it? You think, well, I don't really want to tell them. I don't actually care for them. It's not at all what Christ called us to. He called us to community, to love God, love people. It's also often neglected in this text, the word teaching. You see it right there in verse 20. Jesus says, "I want you to baptize them, and I want you to teach them." This is something I've struggled with my whole ministry. When I went to college, called to the ministry when I was 18, so I had no idea what was going on. You know, when I was 18. Be a preacher, whatever that means, you know. So you go to Bible college and you go there. And while I was there in college, in a town nearby, a revival started. It was good. I mean, gospel preaching, people were being saved. But it was a very emotionally driven deal. And I really struggled with it. I thought, because people would come and they'd give all these numbers. You know, 6 billion people got saved. Not really, you know. I mean, so all these people got saved. And my heart would always say, but What do we do with them after they become saved? What do we do with them after they say yes to Jesus? Just we go, you're in, great. Kick them to the curb somewhere and hope they do okay. It's not at all, I believe, what the Great Commission says. I know this and you know this from Scripture, right? I don't want to be a church that just racks up numbers of people that come through here and get baptized and get saved. Yes, that is a priority, but we're also commanded to teach, to equip, to disciple, to move beyond baby Christians, aren't we? So we want to be a church that all the other things we talked about, the worship, the equipping, the community, that brings people beyond that. And so hear me say that as pastor of this church, this is not about just getting people through the baptistry. My heart aches that we're not doing the best job that we can in bringing people from salvation to growing in maturity in Christ. I want us to do better in that. We've got to do better in that. Jesus says it here. I want you to teach them. Obedience is implied, isn't it? Teaching them to observe all that I commanded, I'd call that obedience. Teaching people how to live a godly life, how to follow after him. He does mention baptism here. I obviously love the picture of baptism. We've had some amazing baptism celebrations this year. And you'll notice here the presence of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. I say that on purpose. When I baptize people, I baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. I use this as a model, and some people have asked, well, why do you say that? I always reminded, I had an old professor and a couple other people that I've read told me this. Guess who was present at Jesus' baptism? Well, Jesus was there. The Father spoke, and there was this dove that descended down on him, like the Spirit, of course. So we baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Spirit, symbolizing a changed life, a changed heart through the power of Christ. All right, I can speak on those things. You know these things. You know what it means to be called out and to be going. We're to be outward focused in our Great Commission. This cannot be, this is not necessarily an inward focused part of our mission, is it? We need to be outside of this place. And yes, there are many here who may need to hear the gospel. We certainly will continue to preach and teach that. But much of this happens outside of this place. And it happens not externally in the lives of people. It happens internally in the hearts of men and women and boys and girls. And it should not focus our mind on myself or even on our church. It should focus our minds on Jesus, the one who is the giver of salvation, the one who is the giver of eternal life, the one who we celebrated, who gave his body and his blood for you and for me. So how do we do this? How do we begin to do this? Well, listen, as I said to you earlier, it has to start right here with me. It has to start with you. If I've been given a great gift, a wonderful, beautiful gift, it's so selfish of me to say, I'm going to just keep this gift for myself. Nobody's ever going to share this gift with me. Now, the call for us is to take the gift that we've been given. It's a beautiful gift. It's life, isn't it? And we take that gift and we share it with those that we work with. We share it with those that we come in contact with. And I'm not saying you have to stand on a street corner holding a sign saying turn or burn, you know, something like that. If you feel called to do that, you may. I'm not saying you have to do that, okay? If I see you downtown today, I'll wave at you, okay? You don't have to do that. Man, we do this in conversation. We do this in how we live our life. We do this in how we love people. Some of the most powerful conversations I ever had with people were when I was managing people at the bank who would come into my office and say, you know what, I'm really struggling. You can just sit down and have a conversation sometimes with people and share with them what Christ has done in your life and what he can do for them. Not everybody's called to stand up and preach, but we're all called to go on mission. We're all called to share the gospel, because if we've been changed by him, we don't want to keep that to ourselves. We want to share that with a world who needs to hear it. So our application today, our application is simply this. We believe that disciples are called to make disciples. We do this by boldly sharing the gospel and And hear this, we do that in both word and deed. Sometimes we act, don't we? Sometimes we do things and not just speak it. We do that with those around us, and we do that also to those throughout the entire world. And we have a couple of action steps about how we're going to do that here. Very simple for you today. The first thing is we're going to do that locally, right here in the greater Fort Worth area. We want to begin right here where we are. God has planted Grace Baptist Church, and His divine wisdom and divine providence has moved this church from the north side out here to the west side of Fort Worth, and our calling is all of the area. Now with transportation, of course, and with everybody's ability to travel, there's no excuse for all around us, the greater Fort Worth area, right here where God has planted us. We want to engage in local missions that God is doing. We want to look at our community around us and our resources and make a difference for Jesus Christ right where we are. We're going to do some of that right here on our campus. Brian shared about some of that earlier today. We're going to have Harvest Fest, and people are going to come, over 1,000 people normally a year, step foot onto our church property and come here. And while they're here, we're going to find opportunities. And I love this. Many of our people, as they pass out trunk treats, also have opportunities to share the gospel and the good news of Jesus Christ while they're passing out candy. A good chance to influence our community. Some of these things, we partner with other local organizations, and we go out and we do things in the community. I love Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. You know these verses. Jesus says, "You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." We shine a light on the hill right here, literally, in West Fort Worth. And it's not for our glory. Did you see the end of that? It's so that God would get the glory, so that He would be glorified in all things. Let me tell you about a few things we have going on. You saw some of it today. Eagle Mountain Pregnancy Help Center. Ladies, come there. Many, many come there to allow us to support them as they, many, many of them struggling and maybe even considering abortion, and are provided opportunities to not do that, to have their babies. And these resources are given to them, and it's a beautiful partnership that we have. Beautiful Feet, a homeless ministry downtown. David Gunther and so many others are involved there. Many of you have been there. Today, as a community group that's packing snack packs for one of our local elementary schools, there are kids, you realize, right here in our school district that leave school on Friday and don't have food for the weekend. You don't know this, but Grace actually packs a Ziploc bag of snacks and things for them to take home over the weekend so that they can have food over the weekend and not have to worry about being hungry. We work with our refugee ministries as we're continuing to build partnerships with here. We're looking at a new partnership with Hope Fort Worth, which is for foster and adoptive families. I can go on and on. Listen, if you open your eyes, you'll see we have a lot of opportunities right here in our city. Not only that, but right here on our campus, we're about to have Upward Basketball. 200 kids every Saturday in basketball and cheer. And guess what? All those have parents and grandparents and aunts and uncles and everybody else apparently that comes out and watches them play basketball, because it's a full house every Saturday. It's a wonderful outreach. Our Mother's Day Out program, Grace Place, meets every Tuesday and Thursday. I'm giving you a lot of information, I know, but I want you to understand, we want to be active in our local community. We want to be a light for the gospel of Jesus Christ right here in Fort Worth. Also, we certainly believe in national and international missions. This is way before I got here. Way before I got here, Grace has been a church that's been a church about missions. And as long as I'm standing here as your pastor, we're going to continue to be a church that is about missions, both national and international. We want to be a sending church where we share and we contribute to missionaries around the country and around the world. We are planting churches in all kinds of different places, and we want to do that financially. We want to do that prayerfully. We want to send teams. All of these things are things that this church has been active in and will continue to be active in. If you look at Paul's introduction to the book of Romans, he tells about how Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, I was called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his Son, who was descended from David according to the flesh, declared to be the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord, through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith. What for? For the sake of his name among the nations. Paul's a man that writes a long introduction, but his point is, Jesus, this one who has saved us, let's make his name great among the nations. Do you know that today, Grace supports 39 missionary families in 22 countries? 39 missionary families in 22 countries. We also support 9 mission organizations around the country and around the world. You can read about them on the Mission Center out in the Commons. Those pictures don't scroll by just for you to walk by while you're eating your donut. Go look at those, all right? Pray for those folks and look at what they're doing around. Get our weekly newsletter, our prayer email. We send two missionary newsletters out every week. We're going to send teams on mission. We sent 3 last year. We're planning on sending 4 next year. You can be involved in a mission trip. We own a mission home in West Fort Worth for missionaries who are on furlough or those who are here in town. We have a mission team that helps us drive our direction for local missions. Listen, Grace is a church that believes in national and international missions and will continue to believe in and support local, national, and international missions. Let me tell you one thing, though. We do things differently, and I know there's a lot of people that have joined our church in recent years and may not completely understand how we do mission giving. Many churches take their mission, take their general offering, and take a percentage of that offering and give it to missions. If you may have been a church that's part of that. At Grace, we go above the tithe for a giving into missions. If you look at the envelopes that are there in front of you, you'll see there's an offering, a tithe, and then there's one that says missions. All of the money that we give to missions comes out of that above the tithe giving, that missions giving. Right now, we average about $10,000 a month, and we can support the number of missionaries that amount of money will do. Do you understand? If more money comes in, guess what? We add more missionaries. We don't take any money from our general fund for missions. It all comes from that designated missions giving. Church has been so faithful to give to that. But I want to encourage you to consider what you can do above, after your tithe, after your offerings. Could you give above that to missions? That goes to local, by the way, local, national, and international missions. I love the fact that we're a giving church. But I also get requests from missionaries weekly who are looking for support. Maybe we can pray about how we can continue to give above and support more missionaries around the world. All right, that's a lot of information today, and I had to go kind of fast. I'm sorry. Again, you can pick up a brochure, you can look on the website, but let me tell you this in conclusion, real simply. If you know who Jesus is, if you know him as your Savior, if you know him as your Lord, then do not for a moment keep that to yourself. That's not the call of Scripture. The call of Scripture is to share that great news, that good news of Jesus Christ, that good news of the one who set us free. I'm thankful that Jesus came to save sinners, aren't you? Because I was one, and I is one, and I need him. And he changed my life many, many years ago, and he's shaping me and making me. And in the midst of shaping me and making me, he calls me to go. Make disciples. Call people to Jesus Christ. You think, man, I'm not very good at that. I don't even know the Roman road. I don't even know what the Roman road is. I'll tell you what you do know if you've been changed by him. You know the power of forgiveness. You know the power of a changed life. You know the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. And you can speak. You can show. You can share. Church, don't ever let us forget, as we wrap up our series on mission, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey all that I've commanded you. And Jesus gives us a great promise. I'm with you always. Always. Even till the end of the age. Let's pray together for just a moment. Lord, it's good for us to remember. We've done that today, Lord, just to remember the work of Jesus. Lord, I want to remember my own life and my own story, God. Thank you for salvation, for the gift of eternal life that you gave me so many years ago. Lord, give me a heart to share it, to proclaim it to a world, Lord, that still very badly needs to hear it. Lord, give us a heart as individuals and as a church to go. Just what Scripture tells us, Lord. Go and make disciples. Lord, if there's anybody here today that needs to know the forgiveness that comes from knowing Jesus, Lord, would you give them a boldness to come and speak to one of our prayer partners or speak to me? Lord, maybe you just need to bow. Someone just needs to be praying at the altar, Lord, just to give us a heart for going. Lord, would you give people freedom in these next few moments just to respond? God, we thank you. Most of all, for Jesus, the one who loved us and gave his life for us and conquered death, rose again so that we might have life. We pray it in his name today. Amen.